altar, and the Father's arms are open wide. What happens at the altar? That's where the sins are dealt with. So as you come together, come to the altar for your sins, guess what's welcoming you there? The Father's arms are open wide. Never fear coming to the Lord, no matter what you've done. The Father's arms will always be open to receive you, to forgive you. Why? Because your forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If I wasn't Pentecostal, I would, if I was, I would be shouting. But as you know, I'm not that kind of demonstrative person, so. Well, let's have a minute just to greet one another. So if you would, stand and greet one another. Put something at your seat so you can get it when you get back. Elevation worship. All right. See, this is what happens when you have dinners for eight. People start talking and they don't stop. So it's a good thing, though. It's a good thing. Well, this morning we're going to be looking again at the book of Proverbs and exploring a topic that I think is very interesting that the book of Proverbs looks at. That we need to know, that we need to be aware of if we're going to live life to the full and have a successful life, and the insights that we gain from the book of Proverbs here. I'd like to start off with just a story, I guess, or a comment about something that I saw. I was looking at a movie trailer, and then I looked up the guy's name and some of the things about him, and it's the movie Hacksaw Ridge, and it's about a soldier named Desmond Doss. And he's a gentleman who was a conscientious objector in World War II. And during that time, the mood of the country was everybody wanted to serve. Everyone wanted to sign up and join the fight. In fact, it was interesting, I read somewhere else where there were some that because when they were going through the enlistment process, they found out that they couldn't qualify. They were physically not up to it, and they couldn't join the service, that several people committed suicide. If you can imagine. because you couldn't join the fight. That's how impassioned people were to be a part of this. They felt like this was a calling almost to fight against evil. Well, in that kind of climate, you have a gentleman named Desmond, and he wanted to serve too. But he had a conviction that he couldn't kill, that it was against the law. It was against God's law. That was his conviction. And so he joined up and went into basic training, and then he ran up against the whole thing about, well, here's war. War is where you kill people, and I don't kill people. And he was given a gun, and he wouldn't take it. So there's a whole, the whole story starts to unfold that, you know, this man is just not fitting with the program here. And he's getting all kinds of grief from his fellow soldiers who believe basically that he's a coward. And he's harassed, he's beaten up, he's all kinds of things for his conviction that he can't kill, but he wants to serve. So long story short, he goes through the whole process and eventually comes out after a trial where he was accused of being a traitor. And he managed to get through the whole thing and was eventually a medic with his troops. And they were sent to the Pacific, I think it was Okinawa. And there in Okinawa, they had a battle area that was just brutal. Hundreds and hundreds of men were dying, just like. And here he is going to go in and treat his fellow soldiers as a medic without a gun. Now, medics have guns. They carry guns with them. But he was not going to. It was his conviction that he couldn't. So the story unfolds, and he's eventually, this is a true story. It's based on his life. He eventually receives the Congressional Medal of Honor for his bravery. He went up that cliff with the rest of the soldiers in the hail of fire of and explosions, etc., and body parts and everything. He would go to different individuals and help them and drag them. And the battle was so intense that the men of that company retreated and went back down the hill with very few men left. And he didn't go down. He stayed up on the hill, on the ridge. And all through the night, he would be crawling around, finding men that were injured, treating them, dragging them to the cliff, and dropping them down. His efforts, some had thought that it was 100 men that he saved that day. He said, no, I didn't do that many. So they compromised 75. And the men that thought he was a coward came to think much different of him. In fact, the next week they had to go back up that hill. And his fellow soldiers, his men, wouldn't go until he prayed for the company. They felt as long as he is with them, they had a chance to live. Now, what does that say? Because if you ever seen the picture of him in real life, he's a scrawny little guy. He's not a person that you would think would be superhuman strength and just, you know, just somebody you want along with you. If you're going into battle, here's this guy that's strong and powerful, and he's going to, you know, be someone that can really, you know, you can count on. He's a scrawny little guy. But courage, strength. There was something underneath the surface that enabled him to face death like that with such powerful courage to save lives. And we know that was his faith. The story's all about his faith, really. But the subject matter I want to look at is that the book of Proverbs talks about the fact that life is difficult. Life is hard. It's challenging. And it points to the fact that You need to be aware of what's below the surface. You need to be aware of those things that enable you to stand against adversity, hardship, trial, suffering, pain, all the things that life brings. And it has to do with that inner life of every human being. And so in the book of Proverbs, it points to the fact that we, in order to deal with life successfully, in order to be able to live life to the full, to live a life that's filled with wisdom, you need to be aware of the life that's below the surface, the inner life, the soul, so to speak, the spiritual aspect of your life. So, the first point I want to look at here is that you need to pay attention to what is going on below the surface. And here's a couple proverbs that I want to look at. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says this: if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Now, when you're looking at that verse, he's not talking about physical strength here. He's talking about the inner life of the person, that there's something inside of the person that gives him strength to be able to deal with trouble. And if there is no strength inside, if there's no inner strength, trouble, you're going to fall. You'll be crushed. You'll be defeated. Here's another proverb. Proverbs 18:4. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Now, this proverb here is talking about a couple things. It says a man's spirit. Yeah, that Hebrew word for spirit is wind or breath. And ruach, I think, is how you say it. And it speaks of, in this context, in the Old Testament, of a rushing wind, a wind of power, a wind of strength. And so when he's talking here about this force that gives you life, this force that enables you to face life, that's what he's talking about. It's an energy that we see in a human spirit, in a human being, that enables him to take and face and deal with life because of what's inside of him. So then we have the other term, a crushed spirit. And a crushed spirit is to look at life and have no desire. Have no desire to face life, to deal with life, no passion for life. And, of course, there's different degrees of being crushed in spirit. There's discouragement, and then there's depression, and there's despondency, and there's to the nth degree, a losing of desire to live. Now, you notice this, that it ties a person's spiritual, or his spirit, the inner life, is tied to how he deals with sickness. In other words, a person's inner life enables him to be able to bear the burden of being sick. And a person who doesn't have a strong inner life can find himself not even able to survive the sickness. When his spirit is crushed, when he has this no will to live, he finds that sickness can kill him. Now, I'm sure that you that are in the medical profession see this, have seen this before, you know, where you go to someone, and because of their inner life, their attitude about life, or their, you know, their inner strength is gone, and that sickness that they should be able to survive and recover from, they don't. Whereas another person has a whole different frame of outlook and has a whole other inner strength there. And not only does he survive it, he thrives. All because of what's inside of him. So the book of Proverbs talks about this fact that your inner life has very much how you deal with adversity, how you deal with struggles and hardship, and it can even affect your physical health. What's going on inside. Now, here's some of the things I want to get from this, some insights from this, is that, number one, happiness is not determined by having the ideal life. Happiness is not determined by having the ideal life. A lot of us have grown up with the idea that our circumstances, we have to have them in a certain way in order to have a happy life. And if your circumstances are not optimal, then the way to be happy is to get your circumstances fixed so that they are the way they should be, and therefore you can be happy by controlling your circumstances. Now, this verse and these verses here talking about strength to face life, that's just realistic. You can't control all the circumstances of your life. Do I get an amen on that one? All right, there we go. I think we're all on the same page here. I can't even get my vacation to go right. You know what I mean? You can make all the plans and all the things, and things still go wrong. Now, if you're determined to have circumstances to go the way you want them to in order to be happy, guess what? Wait for a depressing life, because your life is all geared on avoiding problems, making problems go away. So the way you deal with things, where if things become tough, you quit the job and move to another job. Or you don't like the circumstances of your life, what do? You start over and go somewhere else. And of course, that solves the problem and makes life beautiful. Not really, because you bring yourself with you wherever you go. And a lot of times, circumstances are not they're really not the key to happy life. In fact, there was a story here recently. I heard it on the news, of a woman who from Great Britain, not Great Britain, she was from Edinburgh, Scotland, and she was a part of the British Isles, of course, and she, at the age of 17, was it, won the lottery and won £1 million, which is like $1.3 million or something like that. And of course, you would say, okay, she's got it made, she's got the money, and she's going to have a wonderful life because she's got all this money. She can do anything. Everything's good now. And the thing about this story is that she is threatened to sue the lottery because she says the lottery has ruined her life. Give me a break. I can handle that challenge. No. But here's the thing. She has money to do anything, and what she's found is that her life is empty, even with all the things she's able to do and all the things she's able to buy. And she finds that she's miserable in the life that she has, even though she's got all this money. Because life, no matter what amount of money you have or how your circumstances are, there are always going to be challenges, there are always going to be adversities, there are always going to be trials, there are always going to be difficulty. Things are broken. They don't work as they're supposed to be. The world is filled with sin. And so there we go. So how do you deal with life and be happy? You can't fix the outside. There are a lot of people who try to make this heaven, and this is not heaven, if you haven't found out that by now. And you can't make it into heaven. Only in heaven do things work the way they're supposed to, and are perfect in every way. So who you are below the surface will determine how happy you are. Who you are below the surface will determine how happy you are. So whether you have a lot of money or a little money, whether you have a body that's healthy or your body looks good or is in good shape, no matter what it is, those things are not the source of happiness. The Bible is pointing to the fact that there is something else involved here, and your circumstances are not the source of your happiness. It's how you deal with your circumstances that will determine your happiness. So, it's interesting the Bible's perspective on these things. In fact, if you recall some of Paul, the Apostle Paul's prayers, I've often wondered about this because I've looked at his prayers and you know, they're a good model for how to pray and to learn how to pray about things. And you notice that the majority of his prayers are never about the circumstances of a person's life. You don't see, and I just wanted to pray for you over in Philadelphia that the persecution would stop and those people who are involved in persecuting would be arrested and this whole, no. Or I'm praying that I would get out of jail, that God would help me to get out of jail and then I'd be released. He doesn't pray that way. He doesn't pray about those kind of things. If I wrote an epistle, I probably have a lot of things. And Bob says he's having this trouble, and so I want to pray for Bob right now that he get a good job and blah, blah, blah. And all the circumstances would go just the way that he needs to have them go. That's not how he prays. You know what he prays for? In Ephesians 3, he prays for inner strength. He says, may the God of all grace give you inner strength by the Holy Spirit. See, that's how the Bible looks at it, is that the circumstances you may not be able to control, but you can control what's inside. You can have resources inside, developing resources inside that enables you to deal with the circumstances that you have in life. Now, I'm not saying that if you can change your circumstances to not change them, sometimes that's okay, but that's not the key to having a happy life. It's dealing with the circumstances and knowing how to deal with them and having the strength to deal with them. So it's what's going on below the surface that is important. So your circumstances can reveal who you are below the surface. Your circumstances can reveal who you are below the surface. Trials, hardships, adversity, suffering tend to reveal what's going on inside. You ever heard the term fiery trial? In a fiery trial, it brings up things to the surface in your life that you didn't know was there. And it enables you to see things about yourself that you didn't know was there. It's interesting, when everything is going as planned, when everything's going as you want it to, you may seem to be very strong and happy and well-adjusted. But when adversity comes, then we get to see the real you, because we don't know you until that happens. You know, I've had this happen in counseling with people who want to get married, you know. And I say to them, how's it going? Oh, fantastic. We just love each other. Do you have any fights? No, we never have any fights. Everything's going great. I just love him so much. Yes, he's wonderful. Oh, she's the greatest. I said, well, you might want to wait on that until you have a fight. Wait until things go wrong. Wait until things fall apart on you for a little bit, or something is, you know, something happens that is like real life. Okay? Because right now, you're not in real life. You're in fantasy. You're in La La Land, which is, you can't live there forever. So when real life starts to invade, then we'll see who you are. Then we'll see who that person is. Because, of course, right now, they're on their best behavior. But when real life comes, we see the real person come up because of the difficulty or hardship or some of the things that, you know. You ever heard someone say, they make me angry? Not really. You choose to be angry. People can't make you angry. It's a choice that you have to be angry. And it reveals something inside of you of why you got angry. Because they're dealing with something, or punching some button about you inside that causes you to react. But if you're able to deal with that inside, you don't have you're not going to get out of control. Yeah, you see this a lot of times in the abusive kind of relationships. You know, I've seen this happen so many times. A woman is abused by the guy. What is his take on the situation? Well, if she would only do this, and if she would do that, and she makes me angry because and she knows she can't, and I get that. No, there's nothing that you can do. That person's going to get angry no matter what you do. You can't keep him from getting angry because it's inside. It's something that he has to deal with. It has nothing to do with the person. Everything is an excuse to be angry. So our circumstances can reveal who we are. And sometimes God allows circumstances, trials, hardships, difficulties to come. So why? So that you can see the things that are inside of you that need to be dealt with. Because if they're not dealt with, your life will not have the best outcome. And God wants you to deal with those things. And so he brings them up through those trials and difficulties so you can start to see what you really are thinking below the surface, what you really believe, where your source of strength really comes from, what is really underneath the surface about you. Okay? So, what do I do to be strong in times of trouble, in times of adversity and difficulty? Well, here's some things that this Proverbs kind of focuses on. Proverbs 12:25 says this: "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Now, here's the point. Your worries can weaken you, but words of encouragement will give you strength. Notice it says anxiety weighs you down. It makes life more difficult. It's a heavier load. The picture is when things are light, it's not difficult. But when things become heavy, when you're weighed down, life is more difficult. So worry is something that takes place below the surface, and it can make you make it more difficult to face life. It makes it harder to face life. It can distort how you see life. It can even distort how you face life by making bad decisions based on your worry and your fears. So when you get a word of encouragement, basically it says, but a kind word, another word, way of translating this is encouraging word. An encouraging word deals with the fear, deals with the thing that you're filled with anxiety about, and addresses that so that it loses its power. You're not afraid of that as much anymore. An encouraging word would be, you know what? I faced the same situation, and here's how it turned out for me. God helped me. And here's a verse. Or here's a perspective. Here's a way of looking at this. It's not as black as you think it is. It's not as dark as you think it is. It's not as difficult as you think. This, and they give you a whole nother perspective. So there's less worry. You remember Jesus, I think it's in Matthew 6, said to his disciples as he's speaking, he says, don't worry. Now, that's not all he said. Can you imagine getting counsel from somebody and you say, I'm so worried and fearful. And they say, well, here's the solution. Stop. And you're going, oh, thank you so much. That makes so much sense. I need to stop worrying. Okay, there we go. No, he didn't just stop there, but he gave them an encouraging word to them. He said, this is something you need to realize, that God knows what you need. And those things that you're worried about, he's going to help you take care of those things. Why? Because he cares about you. You know, he cares about his creation, and he cares more about you than he cares about his own creation. See, he just used that illustration to try to help them see It gave him encouragement not to be filled with anxiety. And then he said this. It was a little pithy statement. You know, worry doesn't change anything. What? Have you ever felt this way? I sometimes have felt that worrying is the responsible thing to do. You know, if a problem happens, I should worry about it because that is something that's just being responsible. You should worry, right? Jesus says that won't help you. Worry doesn't help anything. I mean, don't ignore the situation, but worrying, he says, it won't even cause your hair to grow. You can't even make your hair to grow, let alone by worry fixing anything, you know. So that's just a useless endeavor. So having words of encouragement. Now here's another scripture, Proverbs 15:4. It says, the tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks or crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. So here's what I want to get from that. There are people that come into your life that what they tell you brings life. It heals. It makes life better. But there are other people who come into your life who won't tell you the truth and who are devious and deceptive, and they can cause your whole inner life to just be crushed because of how they interact with you. So here's the point. Keep people who will tell you the truth in your life. Keep people who tell you the truth in your life. See, this tongue that heals, that could be encouragement, but it also can be speaking the truth to you about things that are not right in your life. In other words, they can be constructive criticism. They can be spoken in truth in love so that you can see things before you didn't see. Because this person's in your life, they're able to speak to you, and you know that they care about you. You know that they love you. And they are willing to speak the truth to you so that you would see the things that could destroy you, things that could harm you, things that could diminish your ability to deal with life. So having that kind of person in your life, speaking the truth, and that could be a source of life. In other words, there's no way to grow and become stronger if you have things that are destructive in your life and you don't deal with them. So having someone who's able to confront you with those things enables you to move in a direction that's going to be more successful, more healing in your life. Now the opposite, of course, is the person who's deceptive, who won't tell you the truth, who lies to you. And the only way that that can be devastating is if you trust them. If you've opened your life to them and said, I'm depending on what you say. And then their words have impact. So you probably don't want to have those folks in your life. And put your trust in them. So if you find that someone is always lying to you, you kind of go, I just don't pay attention to that. I don't acknowledge that. I just don't let that. It's kind of like I wait and see what they do before I trust what they say. You ever done that? You go, well, they said this, they promised that, but you know what? I'm just going to wait and see. And then if it happens, then I know that the word was true. If not, that's just them. They just talk. It doesn't mean anything. Another verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Now notice it talks about here a tree of life, a source of life. And there's a couple things going on here. Hope. And also fulfilled hope is another way of looking at it. Here's another verse, Proverbs 10:28, on the same kind of subject matter. It says, the hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. So the point I'm trying to want to focus on here is that be careful what you hope for. Be careful what you hope for. In other words, what you put your hope in. And when I talk about hope here, it's the hope that you have for your life. In other words, there are things that you set your heart on that you want to have happen, and these things are so important to you that they are basically a source of life for you. So that you look to them to, if I could have this happen, if I could have this thing or have these circumstances or have that person or have this whatever, my life would be happy. It'd be worth living. It just is, it's going to make my life, it's the difference. And I need to have this in my life. And you're looking for this to happen. And you put your hope in that. And when you do that, and it's not God, then you're vulnerable to having your hopes dashed. Because no matter what you put your hope in, to give you a sense of well-being, a sense of significance, or you're counting on to make you happy. Listen, we're living on planet Earth here. Those things don't come from that. I mean, it's great to have dreams, and it's great to have some things that you'd like to have happen in your life, but to put that much weight on them is really making them an idol. And you're just making yourself vulnerable to disappointment, discouragement, and having your spirit crushed because of that. For example, if you're looking for true love in life, and I'm looking for my true love, the person that will make my life meaningful, the one that will make me happy, and I'm looking for the true love of my life, and then you say, I think I found them. And you are so ecstatic. It happens. I remember the first time I asked my wife for a date, and she said yes. I was just like, wow, I feel so great. I just felt exhilarated. I thought, I like this feeling, you know. But I can't build my life on that. Golly, you know, that feeling only comes from time to time, and but it's not a constant state, right? I don't mean any slam on anything here. How did I get myself into this situation? Backtrack. But this is the fact. People are people, and they can't carry that weight. They can't be that to you. Only God can be that to you, see? Because what was so wonderful can turn, and this happens. You know, the center of your life, it's just you're so in love, blah, blah, blah. And then 5 years later, you find out they're the most despised person in the world. You could hardly stand to even think about, you know, just the opposite. How does that happen? And you're so depressed, so discouraged, and so, you know, disappointed in what. And so you look for another ideal person. This is not where your hope needs to be. This is something that's deep inside of you. You believe that certain things will make your life significant. You believe that these things are key to having a good life, and you find out that they are going to be disappointing to you. And they'll deflate you. See, the only thing that really you can build your life on when it comes to those kinds of hopes is God. Remember that old hymn? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, my inner self, what I need to put my hope in is in Christ. And then all these other things, I see them as a gift from God. And God gives me these things because He loves me. He gives me my wife, He gives me my children, He gives me my job, He gives me my health, you know, He gives me my intelligence. He was a little short on that one, but, you know, everything that you have and everything that you are, everything you count on to make your life full and meaningful, these are all gifts from God because he loves you. But if you put the weight on those things that are just gifts, they won't hold. They will not hold you. So be careful what you put your hope in. And let's go look at another one here. Proverbs 14:30. It says, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Now here's the point. Keep clear of destructive emotions. Keep clear of destructive emotions. Here the word passion is talking about those destructive passions that bring decay to your inner life. Notice it says, but passion is rottenness to the bone. Rottenness, it's kind of a sign of death. It's kind of a sign that your life is falling apart. You know, when you buy a house and you're looking to move into this house, it looks wonderful and everything. Until you look below the surface, you have it inspected, and you find out it's got dry rot everywhere. Guess what? That's not a good thing. Or you find it's got a lot of termites. What is going on? It's this something that's taking the strength from that building and is weakening that building. Well, the same thing is these destructive emotions rob you of life. There are signs of death. There are signs that your life is being drained away from you. So a tranquil heart, or a heart that's content, is life to the body. But these passions, and what are some of those passions? Well, we used this verse, I think, last week when we talked about the subject of envy. This is one of the verses. Word passion sometimes is translated envy. In other places, it's translated jealousy. But it's these passions underneath, these desires underneath, that can drain the life out of you, whether it be lust or bitterness or vengeance or envy, jealousy, etc., etc. So they can literally make you sick. They can just rob you of life. It says life to the body. In other words, there's even physical consequences in having these emotions in your life. They can drain life out of you. So watch out for those. Keep clear of those emotions and those attitudes, because they don't give you strength. They rob you of strength. Another verse, Proverbs 27:21 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives. Here's the point I want to make. Watch out for pride taking root. Watch out for pride taking root. Notice these pictures here, a crucible for silver and a furnace for gold. These two instruments were used to increase heat, so that the metal, when it came into this crucible or was in this furnace, it revealed what was in the metal. So any impurities would rise to the surface. So how do you discern what is below the surface? What is really going on there? Well, a lot of times it is trials and hardship that can happen. But here, this verse is very interesting. It says, but man is tested. How do you test if it's really gold and it's really pure? Those are things how you do it. But here's how you test whether a man has what is going on inside of him is praise. Now, isn't that interesting? A lot of times praise brings out what people want to think about themselves. You ever had someone say, don't let it go to your head? Well, in other words, they're going to get a big head. In other words, their head is bigger than it really should. It's really not as big as they think it is. The qualities that they are being praised for, sometimes that person who accepts that praise thinks that they're more responsible for those things than they really are. In other words, you know, what you accomplished at work, this situation, and you guys, you just, I want to say you did a fantastic job. You are just amazing in getting this accomplished. And you go, why, thank you so much. Well, what about all those people that helped you? It's like they don't exist. You know, if those people weren't there in your life to help you with all those things, that would have never happened. So you're getting a picture of yourself that you can do this all on your own? Boy, your head is very big. Or you think that the things that you accomplish in life are all attributed to you, as though God doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, there's another scripture, I think it's Philippians, talking about boasting. And it says, why do you boast about those things that you had nothing to do with? In other words, you boast about your intelligence, but where'd you get your intelligence from? Guess who gave that to you? What about the opportunities you have? Guess who gave you those? You think you made them on your own? Do you think it's because of your innate abilities that you are just... God gave you everything that you are. They all came from Him. So having pride makes you unaware. It makes you oblivious to the truth and the reality of life. And we talked about wisdom. Wisdom is being aware of the realities of life. And so it blinds you to the real resources that you have, and it blinds you to your own real condition, and it enables you to make bad decisions based on your pride. How many people have had filled with pride and they did things that were risky and things that were unwise because they were so full of themselves and they ruined their lives? It's all because of this. So pride, watch out for it, be aware of it, and don't forget to give thanks to God. That is always a great thing. Now here's another one. Proverbs 16 verse 2. It says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Now this is another interesting verse. It's talking about the fact that you don't always know what's going on underneath you. There's one person who does, though. That's God. So here's what you need to do. Ask God to show what is going on below the surface. Ask God what is going on below the surface. Because you don't always know. Because you know what? You're pretty complicated. There are conflicting things going on inside of you all the time. There are a mixture of good and bad. And sometimes it's hard to know when the good ends and the bad starts, or when the bad starts and the good ends, or you know, there's all. You think your motives are so pure, but they're really not that pure, and you don't even know it. Some of the people around you might be able to see it, but you might be blind to it. And sometimes you just don't even, you never even realized that was inside of you. Have you ever had those things that you discover about yourself? You said, I never knew that was in there. I was shocked that I was capable of those things, of thinking that way or feeling that way or acting that way. I didn't know it was in there. Because you're pretty complicated. There's things underneath the surface that you won't be able to discern yourself. So here's a good thing to do. Ask God to show you what's going on inside so that God can reveal that to you. Now here's an interesting verse in Psalm 139, verse 24. David, when he prayed, he said this, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the path or in the way everlasting. Now that verse comes after he'd just been talking to God about all the bad people around him. this is a wicked person, and Lord, help deal with that person and stop their plans. And this over here, he's spoken bad about me, and this, and he's got plans to destroy me, and this one, and he's going, everybody's bad around me. Thank you very much. And then he thought, you know what? I might be doing something bad too. I don't know. I may not be as pure. I might be having something to do with all this thing. Bad things are going on with me. Lord, show me what's inside of me. If there's anything that I'm doing that's wicked. I've been pointing all the wicked things about everybody else. Have you ever been able to do that very, you know, you have this gift that God has given you to see all the flaws in people? Anybody have that gift? All right. You can see the shortcomings, you can see the flaws, you can see the negatives and everything in other people. And you know why you can see it so well? Because it's in you. You can spot it because you have it too. So having God make these things aware, you aware of these things, because you may have things that are hurtful, harmful, destructive in you that you didn't know are there, and God can show you those things and help you deal with those things. Now, how do you get your strength back? If you find yourself weakened by all these different things, how do you get your strength back? How do you renew your strength? Well, this is found in Proverbs 14, verse 27. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Just see that picture, a fountain of life. In other words, it's not a trickle. It's a gushing fountain. There's a lot of life there. Where does that life come from? The fear of the Lord. Turning a man from the snares of death. It protects you from a lot of traps in life, is the fear of the Lord. Now, we talked about that, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is dealing with, you know, your worshipful awe and respect and fear and love of God. You have this such overwhelming admiration and love for God and who he is, that you are afraid to offend him, and you want to, you're so in love with him, you're so amazed by him, you're so filled with wonder of who he is. He's the center. He captivates your heart. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about this fear of the Lord. So one of the things that will help you bring your strength back is again, worshiping God. A healthy inner life is strengthened by this fear of the Lord. It's worship of God strengthens the inner life and will protect you from being caught in things that can weaken you and keep you trapped. And, you know, the devil's always setting traps for us. But if your heart is with the Lord, if you're filled with worship for him, then you'll find your strength being renewed. And just your relationship with the Lord. Now, here's another thing that's tied to this, is speak to yourself about his goodness. Speak to yourself about his goodness. And this was taken from the psalm that we did this morning in our prayer time. Verses 1 through 4, Psalm 92. It says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Lord, or Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. You know, it's in praising and worshiping and meditating and thinking about the person of God and who he is that brings life. Now, there's an indication of what's going on underneath the surface. If you find yourself, it's difficult to praise God. Because you can say words, but with no heart connected to it, it's just words. So what I'm talking about here is your heart engaged in expressing your love for God, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about worship and we're talking about speaking to yourself about his goodness. And you're making it personal. It does something to you. He says it's good for you to praise God. How's it good? It changes you from the inside. Have you found it difficult to find good things to think about? The way, yeah, just watch the news. It's really helpful to start your day. Just lifts your spirits. You know, get on the internet and read articles about what's going on in our country and what's going on overseas and the different. It's just so encouraging. It just, you just feel like you're on top of the world after reading those things. Not really. But if there's anything good, it's God. Everything about him is amazing. Everything about him is wonderful. Everything about him is encouraging. Because it's all about his love for you. He is wise and good in everything he does. Everything he does is motivated by love. There's purity in him. There's no wickedness. There's no deception. You're just going on and on. And as you think about that, as you talk to yourself about that, and how he's treated you, and what he does for you. You know, we were talking about briefly this morning in that song. The Father's arms are open wide. Just think about that for a while. That'll kind of make your day have a little smile. You know, you've been rejected, felt like you've been diminished a little bit by people around you, and you go, and the Father's arms are open wide. What is that? Think about it. You let it sink in, and it changes your whole disposition. So you're renewed. You're strengthened. Now, if you do that with people, slim pickings there sometimes, you know what I mean? And it can be just plain discouraging all the time. That's why it's important for us. You were made to worship God. God created you. You don't work well without that. You don't function well. You can't be strong in the inner being without being in love and in worship of God. Hope that helps. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us and that you have revealed to us so many things that enables to just deal with life so much better. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see what you're doing inside our hearts, and that you would cause our hearts to be strengthened, Lord, our inner life to be strengthened in you, that we might be able to deal with the challenges of life, because there are challenges, there are difficulties, there is adversity, there is injustice, there is unfairness, Lord. There is mistreatment. There's all these things in evil in the world, Lord. And how do you deal with them without you? I don't know how you do it. Lord, give us your strength that we might be able to be strong in all circumstances because of you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and spend your day together and enjoy what God has given you, and maybe give him thanks this morning. Have a great day.